on my heart today is I want to talk to you about kingdom vision. And I want to ask you this question. Do you have kingdom vision? If you're a believer, I hope you said yes. In today's message, I'm going to be pouring concrete. I'm going to lay a foundation concerning kingdom vision, a little of what it looks like, why we need it. Then we're going to come back Wednesday night, and I'm going to share with you seven ways to cultivate kingdom vision. Your capacity to partner with God with what He is doing in the earth is far greater than I think most of us realize, than most people can understand. But we get to get in on it. So let's do a little exercise to start with. First of all, just to kick the ball off, I'm going to put an image on the screen. And as soon as you see the image, I want you to shout out what you see. Now, let's practice the shout-out part first. Let's shout Jesus. Jesus. Okay. Now, when I put the image up here, shout out what you first see, all right? I'm going to throw it at you. Be ready. Well, okay. I heard rabbit. I heard duck. And I'm going to have to get with some of you the other stuff you were seeing. But okay. Duck and a rabbit. But isn't it interesting that some of you, the first thing you saw was a rabbit, and that's the only thing you saw. And then when you heard someone else say a duck, then you were able to see the duck because someone else had said it. Did you notice that? Let's do it again. Different image, okay? You ready? What do you see? Young or old? All right. Yes, a young woman looking away, or an older woman with her chin on her chest. I'm going to leave that up there. It may take you a moment for you to see the other. But most of you saw one of them really clearly right away. That was your field of vision. That was your perspective. Your mode of thinking was able to translate and see one of these quickly. But you could see the other after it was mentioned or someone said it, or maybe since I already done one of them, you start looking for the other. In a similar way, we have, as believers, we've got onboard equipment that enables us to see what other folks can't see. And when we begin to release what we're seeing, it can be used to open the eyes of other people. Does that make sense? So here is the foundational text for today's message. John chapter 3, the occasion when Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Nicodemus comes at night. He doesn't want anybody to see him hanging out with Jesus. No one can do what you're doing except God's with him. And Jesus begins to discuss with this religious leader about how the kingdom operates. And he tells him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, the phrase born again, if you've heard that all your life, this is where that comes from. I remember, because I'm old enough to remember this, when Jimmy Carter was the president, he said, "I'm a born-again Christian." Well, some people didn't know what that meant. Well, it comes from this passage. Jesus said we have to be born again in order to see the kingdom. So that means before you are born again, there's some things you can't see that you are able to see once you are born again. Have you been born again? Have you given your life to Christ? That's what it means. Now, obviously, this idea of born again tripped up Nicodemus too, because he's thinking, how can I get back in mommy's tummy and come out the second time? I mean, you know, he'd never heard such talk. And Jesus started teaching he's got to be born of the Spirit. So it's the new birth by the Spirit of God by which we become baby Christians, new creations, and grow and mature to reflect Christ to the world. So We're going to talk about this ability to see the kingdom of God, because Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the head of this church, tells us that we can see the kingdom of God if we've been born again. All right? So here's a definition I put together with this in mind concerning kingdom vision. It is a spirit-enabled capacity to see what God is doing, discern His will, perceive people differently, and engage in divine assignments. Now that's both jaws of your mouth full, right? But it's true. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you can see everything God's doing. But I am saying, because the Spirit lives within you, there are times when the Holy Spirit will help you see what God is doing. That's the way Jesus lived. But I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not an elder. I'm not an evangelist or anything like that. If you're born again, you have the ability to operate with kingdom vision. Well, I don't think I can see like some. The gifts vary. God uses people differently. But if you are born again, you have kingdom vision. And let me tell you this. There's a lot of warfare to keep you from using it. A lot of doubt. A lot of unbelief. And that's the reason often I come around often to remind you that we have what Jesus says we have. If somebody tries to use the Bible to talk you out of believing that you have what Jesus says you have, do this. I'm going to go with Jesus. Okay? You can be used of God. You can hear His voice. He's still speaking. He's still speaking. Now, we're not adding new chapters to the Bible. That's the 12 apostles of the Lamb were given revelation along with other people who were alive around the time of Jesus. And we're not adding to that. But God still speaks to His kids. He's a good Father. He wants to communicate to you. He can communicate through His Word. He can communicate through spiritual gifts. He can communicate even through nature, through circumstance. He can have someone else share something with you. And you can know, the Lord is speaking to me through this person. Again, I don't put that on the level of Scripture in the sense that we start building doctrines around it and so forth. But we can hear our shepherd's voice. And our eyes can be open to see things spiritually that we can't see naturally. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to share three observations around this idea to lay a foundation concerning having kingdom vision and using kingdom vision, and then Wednesday night we're going to learn how to cultivate it and develop it more in our lives. I'm still doing this. I desire to do it. I want to be better at it. It's important. Jesus wrote to seven churches in the book of Revelation, "Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." So, believers, you have ears as a believer by the Spirit to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, what He's saying to you. So, Father, give us ears to hear right now what You're saying right now in Jesus' name. So here's the first observation. Being born again upgrades your vision. Now, we've already seen that in John 3:3. You must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you are born again, you can see the kingdom. Being born again upgrades your vision. You got a new set of eyes when you were born into God's family. Eyes to see things like God sees things. And there's so much evidence to this. And many of you can remember when you were born again, and it's like your attitude changed. And over a period of time, you look back and you think, my goodness, I'm a different person than I was back then. But you know what? When you're saved, it doesn't stop there. God continues that refining process. And I can look back in my 42 years of ministry and realize, wow, the pastor that I was back then wasn't in fellowship with the pastor that I am now. After I went through this, I'm so glad that I'm not who I was. And I can even look through my failures and so forth and see how God has healed and given me a new perspective that I didn't have before. Nothing is wasted when you put it in Father's hands. Why? Because He loves you and He's a Redeemer. And He will use whatever you go through when you get to the place when you're tired of me. So I'm talking about you being tired of you and me being tired of me. And lay it at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I'm exhausted trying to do life this way. Show me what needs to change. And we were on that last week about, are you willing to change? Are you being changed by the God who never changes? So today, we're learning being born again upgrades our vision. You're reborn to see what you couldn't see before. The truth is, when you got born again, it wasn't just your vision that got upgraded. You're a new creation, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And I'm not saying that Christians can't be bad dudes and gals from time to time. We can be a mean lot from time to time. But hopefully, Father's correcting us, and we're wanting to do better. We're wanting to be more like Jesus. And that's part of the growth. But when you got saved, you had the capability of seeing change in every area of your life. You got a total upgrade package. Now, all of it hadn't been delivered yet. You won't get your new body until Jesus comes back. But you're promised a new glorified body. We hold these truths in an earthen vessel. Paul says the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is growing stronger day by day. So that's the truth we need to have in mind. I want to grow stronger and stronger. We saw this last week, glory to glory, right? So we got an upgrade package. Now, our growth really is a combination of the Spirit of God and the working of God and Father and Son all working redemptively in our life to form and fashion us into the image of Jesus so that we can express Christ to the world as long as we're here. And kingdom vision is part of that. There is such a warfare of you understanding who you now are because you've been born again. You see, if the warfare is usually like this. The enemy whispering lies, reminding you of your faults, your flaws, your failures, your imperfections when you missed it. Reminding you of that mistreatment, that abuse, that terrible thing that happened to you, those nasty words that were spoken. And there's just like a swirl. The enemy wants to hold you. And what people do, if we don't learn to draw strength from the Scriptures and from the Spirit and even from the saints, our brothers and sisters, then we start to turn to substitutes. A pill, a bottle, a hobby, anything that can occupy us and get our mind off of all this. But when you realize who you are in Christ, that you have access to God, you start coming alive, then when you get your identity kind of, that issue settled, I am a child of God, I am forgiven, I am made righteous by the blood of Jesus, not by my own works. God can use me. When you get that place, then you start seeing. So the enemy wants you to be so inward focused on yourself. And that goes back the last 2 weeks. I've reminded you the word that about the smell of death. We've got to die to ourselves and come alive to Christ. That's the Lord. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to really unleash, I believe, intense waves of glory across this region. I believe we're going to be a part of that. I really, really do. And part of it is us preparing and equipping us to see, to be equipped, to see, to operate, to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. So knowing who you are as a child of God, that encourages you. Well, that means I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be moved by what my natural eyes see or my natural ears hear. I'm going to make sure I'm aligning with what I'm seeing with my spiritual eyes and hearing with my spiritual ears. So important. Do you know that they've discovered that in the womb, at conception, when the one time a month the woman releases an egg, and then like within the confines of marriage, a husband and wife, when the sperm of the husband swims toward that egg, that the moment it starts getting into the area where the egg is, the onboard equipment inside that spermatozoan changes and it starts moving in a circular pattern. And it does that so it'll have a better opportunity to bump into that egg. And when it bumps into that egg, they say that the enzymes in the spermatozoan is released and it causes this calcium stuff in the egg to do something. And it's like there's a zinc explosion and actually light occurs. It's like they say with photosensors, when this process, you can actually see that light at the moment of conception. You know, the Bible says Jesus is the life and came to give light and life to every man. In a similar way, the Spirit of God moves through the Word of God, the seed in the Word, and it releases light. The entrance of your Word gives light. And so as spiritual beings, we learn through the Word and the Spirit to be led by God. And you have kingdom vision, the ability to see. That may be a vision. That may be a dream. That might be a prompting. People call it intuition. But it's the Spirit of God alerting and communicating to you some means or way that God wants to utilize you or to get a message to you. So the second observation is this. Kingdom vision, then, turns ordinary moments into divine assignments. When we can learn to recognize these sparks inside us, this prompting, the Spirit inside of you, when you start recognizing that, Jesus said this in John 5 that I have on the screen. He said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. Well, Father God is enthroned in the third heavens. Jesus is down in here in the realm of earth in Jerusalem and so forth ministering. But He tells His disciples, what moves me is what I see Father doing. He's talking by the Spirit. He's connected. God is Spirit. By the Spirit, He is the Father is communicating to Him. And so, in the middle of an ordinary day, if Jesus ever had one of those kind of days, but what we'd call an ordinary day, He was led by the Spirit. Like in John 4, all of a sudden in the middle of the ordinary, He stops. And I'm paraphrasing here, so we'll understand it better. He said, I must needs. But He said, guys, I've got to go to Samaria. And He redirects to Samaria. And He probably didn't know what was going to happen. He laid aside attributes as the second person of the Godhead. And He lived as a man led by the Holy Spirit. And often the Holy Spirit will start with one thing. He'll show you one thing. And if you obey that, then He'll show you something else. I must go to Samaria. So, Lord, if You'll tell me what I'm going to do when I get there, I'll take off. That's not the way it works. I must go to Samaria. He goes to Samaria, and there is a woman who comes at the wrong time of day to get water because it's the hot heat of the day. But Jesus is the right time at the right place for the right person to minister to. And that whole story results in a woman who had been married 5 times was shacking up with the guy that the community basically shunned. He leads her into the revelation of who He was to the extent that she goes back to town and brings them all out to hear Jesus and see Jesus. She becomes an evangelist. Why? Because Jesus was discerning what the Father was doing. He had a course correction, and he obediently followed that, and God used him powerfully. And we have to learn to take that next step of faith. Should you pray? Of course. Should you make sure that what you're being asked to do doesn't violate Scripture? Of course you should. Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do something that he says in the Bible that you shouldn't do. So, yes, that's our guardrails of Scripture. But having said that, he often will begin to move in you to know you need to redirect. Let me give you an example. I love this one. When I was teaching through the book of Acts year before last on Thursdays, I love that section where Paul is on his missionary journey, and he's moving in a direction, and then he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So he redirects, and he starts in another direction, and again, he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit. We're not told what that looked like, but I sense it's like you and I often will be doing something that we know, well, they're under the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So they're going. But in their going, I believe along the way, Paul just started getting that lack of peace. Like, you know, every step I take, it just seems like something's not right about it. Course correct. Something's not right about this either. Father, I don't know what to do. I'm going to sleep on this. Then in the middle of the night, he has a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over here. Oh, now he's got a word from the Lord. He knows what to do next. And that's a simplified, brief way of describing the Christian life. We learn to recognize how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, our loss of peace, those holy hunches, those promptings. And I'm not saying every time you have indigestion that God's speaking to you. Don't get me wrong. If you've been a believer for long, you know that it's almost inexplicable, but you sense that the Lord's stirring the nest here. He's trying to get me to see something. But when you notice that and you quieten yourself, okay, Lord, I'm getting some signals here, and you start praying, he will be so faithful. But often we'll get an inkling and we'll start diving and jumping and leaping, or we'll talk ourselves out of doing anything. So again, we have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example of this. A couple of weeks ago, early after I get up, I go outside and do my devotional. First thing I do is I get on my knees and say the Lord's Prayer, then I make the bed, and then I get coffee. Then I go outside and I, you know, do my devotional to be fruitful about my morning. But I was out there. I'd done my morning devotional. I put that on Facebook and TikTok and so forth. And I was walking and praying because I love that time of day. Just get out there walking and just spend time with the Lord. Well, while I'm walking, out of nowhere, a young man I hadn't talked to in quite a while, not a member here, but I know him well. I hadn't talked to him. It's just like he came up before me in a sense. He came into my mind, his face and his name. And so I just started praying for him because I've learned to do that. Pay attention to that, by the way. The enemy can sow thoughts too, but try to have a filter where, he's trying to get you to chase after another man's wife. That's not the Holy Spirit. I hope you recognize those kind of things aren't God. But sometimes you'll get these promptings that come to you, and pay attention to those. And so I started praying into it, and then I got a word. Bamboo. Well, that's not God. Well, it's kind of strange, bamboo. But I've done it long enough, and I've had too many of these things happen. I've learned to say, okay, Lord, what is it about bamboo? I didn't get a whole lot other than telling him. He said, I want you to tell this young man that I'm about to awaken the bamboo in him. In other words, I was supposed to say to him, God's about to awaken the bamboo in you. And I thought, this is strange. Bamboo in you, what scripture can I use for that? Yeah. Okay, Lord, the scripture I'm using is, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I didn't say, well, this is, I could see, I know some things about bamboo. It's a very fast grow, and it'll go for years, about 5 years, and nothing happens. Then in 40 days, it can grow like 30 feet. It's just amazing. So, it's too early to call him. So I made a voice text, an audio on text. I do that a lot of times with people when I'm out early, and I'll send it later. But I sent it to him, and then I waited. Well, he may think this is bizarre. Of course, he knows me, and he's not the first one to think I'm a little off. So, but then I get an email back. I mean, a text back later, and he said, Pastor Eddie, so good to hear from you. You don't know what this means to me. And then he proceeded to tell me, basically, the summarized version is, it was a very long text. He said, I woke up, I'm where I am in my life, God's been trying to speak to me, and I know the Lord's got something for me. He said, but I got your word, and I was so encouraged. And I told him in the word, I said, listen, all I know, a bamboo, it does grow fast, so I don't know what the Lord might be saying. I don't want to get into interpretation. I'll leave that to you. You might want to pray about it, think about it, research it. So he just said, it really means a lot to me. He said, but I came downstairs to start my day. I got a cup of coffee, and I went to sit down on the couch, and there was a pillow on the couch, but the pillowcase had been removed. I don't know, basically I don't know why it happened that the pillowcase wasn't on it. And he said, I looked down at the pillow, and he sent me a picture of this. I got it in my phone. He said, it had the words, Miracle Bamboo Pillow. Oh, what's the deal with that? Well, I could really wax prophetic on the fact that it was on a pillow, and it's miracle, and, you know, I'll leave that for the Holy Spirit and Him to figure out. But the timing of it, the timing of it. And I was so happy. It was just a little thing to me. I struggled with it. Should I send that? I'm so glad I did. Because in that ordinary moment, just decided I'm going to be obedient. And by sending that message to him, he got a confirmation from the Lord. Yes, I'm hearing you pray, and you're about to step into a season when things are, I believe he's telling him, going to really take off. So he was really encouraged. And God can use you in simple ways like that. And you can talk yourself out of it in a jiffy if you're not careful. Don't overthink it. I'll get into this when we talk about Wednesday night cultivating. Don't overthink it. Don't override it. But realize if you sense this, the breath of God's on it, just be faithful and go for it. Kingdom vision turns ordinary moments into divine assignments. It can happen in your family, in your marriage, in your business. In your hobbies, wherever you're, a random stranger, God can use you in that way. You may be walking down the street, and at times I've been concerned, particularly like I'm in restaurants, sometimes my kids get a little edgy, because if they see me sitting there and all of a sudden I'm kind of locked in on somebody, you know, they know something's going on. We were recently at Cracker Barrel and had a bunch of our family with us, three or four of us, and we're sitting, and there was a table of ladies back there, and it happened, that radar moment. I'm just wanting to enjoy my pancakes that are on the way, and I see this lady, and it's like, a group of ladies at a table, and every time I turn, it's just this inner prompting or sensation, and I've learned to recognize, I'll even tell you this, the Lord will kind of teach you how He speaks to you. Because a lot of words of knowledge I get, I feel them in my body, particularly related to healing. I'll actually feel pain in the part of my body when I'm talking to somebody and I know they got an issue and I can ask them, hey, how long? And it boosts their faith. That's the way that works. So I ended up going back to that table, take a knee and said, listen, I'm a pastor when I was laying there. When I was sitting there, I started getting this word. Can I share it? They were all in. All the ladies at the table, I shared the word. It was a real simple thing. And one lady said, that's exactly for my kids, because it had to do with a situation with one of their children. And we just huddled up there. I prayed, and there was joy at the table. An ordinary moment turned into a divine assignment. And he wants to use us in that way. Now, be careful, because when this starts being, many of you already do this, but for some of you, it may be new territory. And when it starts happening, you can become overzealous if you're not careful and be a bull in a china shop and think that everybody you see, you've got a word for them. And it really doesn't work that way. And when I first got baptized with the Holy Spirit and my eyes were open, it was, but you know, one reason it happened more, I was looking more. I was expecting it to happen. And you learn to do that. You have an expectation. And like when you start your day, Lord, help me see what you want me to see today. Help me hear what you want me to hear today. This is how God turns ordinary moments into divine assignments. And it doesn't have to be spooky. It's just simple. Like, hey, I believe the Lord laid you on my heart, and this scripture kept coming into my mind. I want to share it to you. Or, you know, I just can't get, it's just like I keep being drawn to pray for you. And would it be all right if I just prayed for you right now? It's amazing how open people can be if we will approach them in the right ways. Now, I made mistakes with wrong approaches before. That's the reason I shared this part. Let me share the last observation. Kingdom vision enables you to see people prophetically. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he basically tells them, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. And I would encourage you to study 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and following. Real important. Now, let me talk about that section of Scripture for just a moment. Then I want to share one more story before I close this morning. In that 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and following, that's the section where Paul talks about, I hadn't seen, ear hasn't heard what the Father has in store for us, but he reveals things to us. If you read on down deep in that section, it says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. Again, the Bible's telling us, natural people, lost people without Christ, they can't operate in this. But we can as believers. And in that section in between, he uses this illustration. He says, a man can't know the things of a man except by the spirit of the man. What's that mean? Well, let me simplify what I believe that means. Paul's simply saying that, let's just say it this way. All of us here this morning, on the inside, your spirit, your soul and your spirit, you know things about yourself this morning that people around you don't know. Some of you have done things for the Lord in secret. Nobody but Jesus knows about it. We don't know about it. And then there's times when maybe you've done something you don't want people to know because you're ashamed of it, or bad choices and failures, and we're grateful that people don't know. In other words, that's the way we operate in the natural. But like when you get married and between a wife and a husband, what do you find yourself doing? You begin revealing things to your spouse that you've never told anyone. You develop intimacy. You share your thoughts, your dreams. And because of the love and the comfort that you have, you can be yourself. Faults, failures, flaws, struggles, you can put them out there and know it's going to be response is going to be love and to support and to help. That's the way our relationships work. We self-reveal to others so that they can know more of who we really are. And then for some people, you don't do that. Right? But Paul goes on to say, a man doesn't know the things of a man except by the spirit of man. And so We can't know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. It's the same idea. God sees all, knows all, but it's only when He, by His Spirit, chooses to reveal to us that we get in on it. Now, the Bible tells us a lot about who God is, but in this relationship we have with Him through the Holy Spirit, even what we read in the Word that we can know intellectually, now, because His Spirit's in us, we can, yes, we learn intellectually, we accumulate knowledge about God, but that becomes incarnational so that it actually transforms us, because we know now that we're not just reading words from a book and we don't know much about who wrote it. This may be lies, but the Spirit in us who authored the book, we now know Him. We know this is true, so we can receive it deep, and when we do that, then we know the truth, and that's what sets us free. That's what Jesus teaches, though, that we know things by the Spirit of God because He self-reveals to us through His Spirit. When you're reading your Word, He'll draw you near, and you'll start. Here's how you know when it's happening. When you start seeing things in the Scripture for yourself that you haven't been taught and no one's shown you, but the Spirit becomes your teacher. And that's so beautiful. That's so powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Kingdom vision enables you to see people prophetically. I said all that to say this. That means the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, knows everything that's going on in the lives of other people. Now, if you're prophetic, that doesn't mean you know everything that's going on in someone's life. And I've had people say things like, well, I know you know what I'm about to say before I say it. That's not the way it works. It's not like a slot machine. You pull a handle and stuff comes out. God's not that way. It's like it is in the human dimension. But there are times when you, as a child of God, because Jesus said you can see the kingdom, when the Holy Spirit in you, who knows what's going on in the life of your friend or that stranger on the street or that person at work, when He knows He can trust you, He may reveal to you something because He knows you'll pray about it, or He may share, give you something to do because He knows you'll do it. And you get to participate with the Spirit of God through your kingdom vision to be a blessing to other people. And remember where we started? If you're born again, you have the capacity to have kingdom vision. You can see the kingdom of God. And listen, when we understand this, it's not just for Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30, 11:40. It's the window's bigger than that. Thank God when it happens in here. You know? But it's for us to take to the streets, where we go to school, where we live, where we work, the ball fields where we take our kids, to be agents and, who can be used by Jesus to speak into the lives of other people. And a lot of times, listen, if He can use bamboo, if my pastor is willing to move on bamboo, then I can share a Bible verse. Amen. On May 18th, 2018, I had begun a preaching tour in the province of Nova Scotia. That's a province in Canada. If you go up the eastern seaboard, go through Maine, get in a boat, and go for a ways, you'll run into Nova Scotia. It's the people are lovely, and it's a much more rural place than I had imagined. Beautiful. It's got like 3,000 lakes. It's quite a place. It was my first day there. I didn't know anyone there, and I was part of a team. There were two of us, and one of us that went one way, the other one, Dr. List, went the other way. So I'm preaching in a town called Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. It is the lobster capital of the world. I'm not going to take the time to tell you a lobster story, but I've got a few. I'm preaching in a pastor's church. I'm staying in his home. His home was built in the late 1700s. He's a shepherd. He's got sheep. And he's got maple trees, and he produces maple syrup. And he's a pastor, sweet guy, Pastor Larry Pinnell. and his lovely wife, Audrey. So I'm preaching first night, Friday night. The Lord moves. The altar, we got people coming up receiving prayer. I'm laying hands on people. I'm talking to this sweet lady, lays hands on her, start praying for her. And I'd already prayed for a number of people. As I'm praying, though, I had one of those kingdom vision moments. And it began with, I was feeling things in my body. It was like I was interpreting it as like a sorrow, grief, regret, that kind of feeling. But then, out of nowhere, just like you would see something on a road on a wall, but it's in an internal vision, I saw 37 years, and this boom, out of me. I looked at this woman, the next thing I know, I told her, I said, listen, 37 years ago, you went through something, and the Lord says, you've never gotten over it, and it needs to be broken off your life here tonight. She burst out weeping, starts crying, and took a few moments to calm her down and get her composed. And finally she, you know, in the middle of her sobbing, she stopped. She said, 37 years ago, I became pregnant out of wedlock. She said, I have a beautiful 37-year-old daughter. She said, but I've never been able to get past the shame of becoming pregnant out of wedlock. I can't tell you. I just felt such compassion for this precious lady. It's obvious she loved the Lord. But see, the enemy had been taunting her and tormenting her for 37 years, and my Lord Jesus wanted it to come to an end. And so in that moment, he kind of highlighted that. And I'm so grateful that I've kind of learned that when it's happening, just to, you know, nice. I said, the Lord says this, and boom. And so I led her through a prayer, a prayer of healing, a prayer of breaking things off. And then I said, I want you to look at me just a moment. Just look at me. And she lifted up her face and looked into my eyes. And it gave me, I could feel such anointing in this moment. I said, dear sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I absolve you from the guilt of this shame and break the power of this thing off you in Jesus' name. And I could feel the power of God as I spoke that. But when I said that, she received what I said. And I'm telling you, that spark was there and the power of God came upon her. And then in a matter of moments, she is radiating joy. She is just rejoicing. Now she's crying, but it's tears of joy. It was just a holy moment. A holy moment. I didn't do that. She didn't do that. Jesus chose in that moment to manifest through his Spirit to love on that woman and help her. I'm so glad I got to be used and be in on it. But Jesus does that. He still does it. And he'll use you. Oh my goodness, church, if we could just become alert and awakened to what the Spirit is saying to us about operating, being more attuned in and coming in sync with what the Lord is doing. I wish I could become much more sensitive in this area of my life, and that's my desire. I believe the Spirit of God is saying even right now, I sense this may be for more than one person, but I know there's at least one person here. The Spirit of the Lord says you have been living in a glass house and you have been confined by what other people think about you. And the Lord says you have chosen to live in a prison that is made by the wrong thoughts that you have been thinking. And I love you today. And I'm wanting to shatter that glass house that you've chosen to live in. I want you to see yourself the way I see you. You have allowed the words that other people have spoken in your hearing to fashion your faith around a wrong identity. But I am saying to you, says the Spirit of the Lord, that I will visit you in this moment, and I will shatter that glass house, and I will establish you in the house of the Lord so that you will begin to see who you really are in me, and your eyes will be open. It will change things in your family line. That you have a family line, I'm sensing the Lord saying, in your family line, there has been a propensity to be bound by a spirit of fear. There has been this paranoia. There has been this excessive anxiety and worry. And you have spent far too much time worrying about what other people think about you and other people might say about you. I rebuke you, says the Lord. You need to be concerned concerning what I say about you. And I'm calling you to repent. And I say this in love. I want you to stand with me, please. Our worship team's coming. I want our prayer team members to quietly but quickly come. Now let me, the people that are up here at the front, they have the blessing of the church upon them. They've gone through training, and they are here to minister to you. More importantly, the Spirit of God is upon them. So I encourage you, as the Lord moves on your heart this morning, I believe some of what just came forth is for many of us. There may be parts of that word for some, other parts for others. But I really believe the Lord's speaking. It's when we walk in the light. 1 John 1 teaches us, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You don't need to drag that anchor around any longer. Father, I pray that any veil over our eyes would be torn asunder right now in Jesus' name. I know, Lord, when You're teaching us to have kingdom vision, You often begin to show us what we need to do ourselves as well. We say no to the voice of the accuser in this room. We say yes to the voice of the Holy Spirit in this room right now. And if the Lord is dealing with you and you need to come for prayer, or you need to come time just to spend at this altar here praying, I invite you to come. Step out from where you are. Maybe there's some at the very beginning of this message you realize you have not been born again. There are others, you've confessed Christ, but you've yet to walk down into the watery grave of baptism and identify with His death, burial, and resurrection. You need to get that in order. I encourage you to come this morning. There's someone here, you're having a lot of pain on the lower part of your left jaw, right in here where my thumb is right now. I don't know if that's TMJ or a tooth issue, but it hurts. I can tell you that much. And I believe the Lord wants to touch you right now. I encourage you to come up, and I am believing with you. When you receive prayer, you're going to get healing for that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I really appreciate your patience at this moment right now. There's just so much stirring. The Holy Spirit helped me to know which way to go with this. But I just feel an exhortation for us this morning. Brothers and sisters, listen. What He's calling for here at Grace House is for us to be able to come together in a spirit of unity, in our worship, where it's just about Jesus. It's not about being seen. It's not about being heard. It's not even worrying about any of that stuff. It's just about exalting Jesus. The Lord is wanting to release waves of glory. There have been prayers prayed in our generational lines that Father has breathed on. He's just looking for somebody in a family line to rise up and say, I'm going to carry the sword of the Lord now. I'm going to break open the doors in the name of Jesus now. I'm going to release the generational blessings of God on my family that have been held back. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to forerun for my family line. For too long, there may be the dark things, the ugly things, the sinful things, and there's shame around that. Enough of that. Let the light of God come forth in your life. Start a new day, a new era in your family line. Oh, Lord, be magnified. We're going to begin to worship now. If you need prayer, come on up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You're a good, good Father. You are.
Are there others you need to come right now?
I'm loved by you. Who I am. Who I am. Who I am. You're a good, good Father. Who you are. Who you are. Who you are. I'm loved by you. Who I am.
This altar area is going to remain open for ministry. Thank you all for being with us here this morning. I encourage you to come back this Wednesday night. I'm going to continue this teaching, 7 ways to cultivate kingdom vision. But you come back Wednesday night, and we'll step into that. Let God use you this week. Don't forget to register for that conference if you want to be here when Dutch and Chuck are going to be here. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Now go forth and change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand for His word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here. Amen. If you need ministry, come on up. Feel free to fellowship, mix, mingle. Have a wonderful afternoon in Jesus' name.